Hey friends, welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. This is David Langiuli, your intrepid warrior, with my two colleagues who will introduce themselves.
I'm Michelle Malloy Dillon. Great to be here.
And I am Margaret Katz Cann. And today, maybe you even noticed, I noticed, like, David, the pep in your voice is like a 2 out of 10 right now.
Yeah. Happy and peppy and bursting with love. Not really.
Not really.
Or there's the V divided Benjamin episode of I Love Lucy. You know, you can get
I
peppy
love.
and yeah, that's another good one.
That's one.
Maybe I need
That's one way to go for sure.
that's one way to go. Get stoned on some V divided Benjamin.
Yeah. We were
I
doing.
I'm a bit run down. Yes, run down.
Yeah, we were just catching up as we do before starting the podcast and just comparing stories a little bit about a midsummer lull for different reasons. For me, it's getting back from a big trip and trying to recover from time differences and long flights, but also like nothing to look forward to again for a little bit. And I know Michelle taught last week and David was sharing that
Yeah.
he has had a giant move.
Yeah. And I taught last week while I wasn't feeling well. So I have not been feeling well for many, many weeks. And I've been having trouble speaking, and my voice is odd, and my breathing is not good. And it's taken a little extra out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we thought about just talking today about wow, what happens when you start feeling your age?
Yeah, for those of you who are happy and peppy and bursting with life, you can tune out the podcast right now if you're 20 something.
Or maybe give us a little energy. Give us a piece of your energy.
Yeah.
If you're more senior, shall we say, I will put myself in that category, more senior. Man, I mean, I've moved several times in my life, and this was pretty typical. We didn't move very far, but it was the selling the one place and the buying of the new place and the lining up of all the contractors in the new place, and then the being here for them while they did all their work, and then the moving and the unpacking and the unloading and then the unpackaging and then the resorting and the, you know, I go on and on and on. But
Just
I
hearing
mean,
you
I've done
say that
this.
makes me tired.
I know.
I
I feel like I just gained 5 pounds since we started the podcast.
mean, I've done it so many times, it was familiar, and yet it was very draining this time for sure. Yeah.
Did you do that thing where you moved boxes of things and then you took them out of the box and were like, we should have just thrown these away or given them away?
Surprisingly, Margaret, not so much this time. I think there were a few items I was mentioning to both of you before we got on the podcast that certainly both my daughters had to go through that exercise. Lillian and I have de-stuffed multiple times over the past few years. So there was on the front end, we did some more of that. So now, I mean, we are really down to essentials. Like there's nothing that we had to toss when we got here, so that was good.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you are lean,
Yes.
traveling
Yeah.
lean, and yet you said it was still just depleting.
Yeah. All right. It's true. I mean, I think there is a way, and of course, keeping the business going during all of this, and training jiu-jitsu, and trying to keep my training regimen up, for through all of this. And this is I'm just saying that for the audience because I know there are a lot of single moms out there or working moms in our audience who juggle family, juggle work, juggle. I know for me, I'm taking on some new parenting responsibilities this coming year for my nieces, or you have elderly parents, which I also shepherd over the threshold. And so you sort of at this stage of life that the three of us are in, and many in the audience, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of in our leadership program through the Coactive Training Institute, we talked about the many screens, right? So there's all these different screens of things coming in, multi-generational, different responsibilities, moving around, transitions, health issues, the ability to travel and the impact of travel, right? I mean, there's all sorts of different things coming in from different areas, and it has a different impact on our energy as we age.
I'm curious, Michelle, how did you resource yourself to teach when
A
you
lot
felt
of hot
so
tea with
strongly?
honey. I have some in front of me right now. A couple extra trips to the doctor. Some new medication that's helping, going to bed on time every evening. And as I taught, really designing with the group I was with to be open about how I may have to, save my voice here and there. So co-designing with my co-leader and the course participants, that was just a thing that was happening.
Yeah,
Yeah.
those are great. Those are great
So not
starter
pretending
kits.
that everything was fine, right? But just
Yeah,
yeah.
that's a great not pretending. Whew, yeah, right. Which I think is what we're doing today. We're not pretending.
Yeah, right.
So, Margaret, for you and for me, traveling, and for those in the audience, who do a lot of traveling for fundraising work or for nonprofit work in general or other work, traveling can be, these days, especially during the summer, can be all extraordinarily draining, especially if you're a highly sensitive person like all three of us are. So why don't you say sort of like the impacts on you of being in airports and being delayed and all of that stuff?
Yeah, it's just exhausting, I guess. And I mean, the funny thing is, like, once I'm on the plane and the plane's in the air and I have my book or I've got something to watch, like, I'm okay in that space. But there's, going through airports and security and it is super depleting. It just really is. I sometimes, I've had the experience, this is part of being sensitive, where I'm on time, I've got my bags handled, like everything, I'm sitting in the gate and there's no reason for me to feel anxious. I'm not an anxious flyer. I believe in the physics of airplanes, all of those things. But I start to find my anxiety level like going up and up and up and up. And I realize, like, oh, this is what it means to be sensitive. I'm around other people who are anxious about who they're visiting or finding a spot for their bag on the plane or and it all kind of creeps in.
So
So
after you notice that, Margaret, what helps you settle?
well, noticing it is definitely part one. And then, sometimes I'll do a little visualization and put myself in a little globe and try to move everybody else's stuff on the other to the other side of it. And fill my little imaginary space with sparkles or snow, like the snow globe. So those are cheesy, but those are actually very helpful for me.
Yeah, for
Doing
sure.
it, as soon as I get where I'm going, taking a shower, and like again, just paying attention to letting it wash off, letting all of the ick from the day, metaphoric,
Yeah.
literal, and otherwise, wash away.
There's a lot of power in those kind of visualizations, to be able to put ourselves in a bubble or wash it away, whatever that is. I too imagine it's like, every day after the course I was teaching, it was just sort of letting it wash away. Like, okay, just rest. Your job right now is just to rest until the next morning. Like, nothing else. Just take care of yourself and just rest.
One thing that has served me very well during times of depletion is this little baby art of savoring. Of challenging myself every day, can I find 10 places where I just pause and I just remember to taste that first sip of coffee, where I enjoy the hot of the shower, not just getting in the shower all tired, but like really pausing and letting in the yum of it, having a song come on that I love, but it's just like tuning my attention to What's something that is just gonna light me up, even if it's just a little baby charge, just a little mini, like yum. It's really the best word that I can think of. And that savor, that I find that very healing when I'm feeling super low.
Yeah. Did you have any special tricks to some mini charges, David, as you were moving?
Yes. What got me through was naps.
I love a good power nap. I am a great,
Oh.
like, 15-minute power napper.
Yeah. I have conversations with many of my coaching clients these days about sleep and or the lack thereof, or the disillusionment about how they think they're getting enough.
The I
And
can
then so
operate
we
on 5 hours of sleep, no problem. That thing, is that what you're
yeah
talking
yeah
about?
yeah 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 that's
Yeah.
the one, right? That's the it's just a lie. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it that way because I think all three of us, or at least I read this book Why We Sleep, and science is in on sleep, for not only for cognition, for your ability to function cognitively. We're not going to mention any people running for president right now. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. But also for the healing and repair of the body and the recovery of the body. So, yeah, minimum 8 hours, folks, minimum. If you think you're getting by on 5 or 6, and a lot of people I work with delude themselves that they think, oh yeah, I'm good. You're not. You're not good.
Well, you could be better. I mean,
True.
there are
True.
people who can function on 5 hours of
You
sleep,
can
but they may
function.
not be thriving on 5 hours of sleep.
Actually, you're functioning at a much depleted level cognitively. And now if you exercise on top of this, and a lot of folks we work with are healthy folks. They eat well. That's another thing. So I did maintain my nutrition throughout, even though we had to go out a bit more frequently as we were transitioning. I still eat well, so nutrition is important and for energy. And but if you're exercising regularly, that number goes from about 8 hours to 10. And then if you're exercising like a maniac, like I do, that number needs to be between 10 and 12 a night. Yeah.
I don't know about other people. I can't even visualize sleeping that long. I mean, I could go to bed at 8 p.m. and then I wake up at 4 a.m. 3 a.m. Like, my body doesn't want to sleep for quite. I don't exercise like you do
Yeah.
either,
I
though.
mean, if I don't get enough sleep, or in other words, if I have short night sleep, and if I don't, and it's very hard to make it up. Again, the science is in on this. Some people think, oh, I'll make it up on the weekend. That the body doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. I mean, you're getting good sleep on the weekend, but that does nothing for you, like in terms of like recovering or recapturing the lost sleep. No, that's not how it works. You're actually doing damage to your body and to your brain if you're not getting enough sleep. So anyway, I really encourage folks, my clients, to read that book. I recommend it to everyone in the audience because the science is very, very well established. And in the realm, the biological science and the performance science, both in athletic performance and mental performance, the evidence is very clear. You need minimum 8 hours of sleep a night, period. End of discussion. Go to bed now.
Well, what I've noticed as I've gotten older is sometimes that go to bed now is in the middle of the afternoon for a short nap.
Yeah,
And that
naps are good.
is like part of one of those things. And it changes a little bit every day, but being aware of what your body needs to stay highly functional and energetic and healthy, it changes. over time, and it goes through phases. And to be aware of what we need, especially when there's a lot coming at us, right? I notice that's where the depletion can, like when there's a lot coming at me from many different directions, sometimes I need some more sleep. And that's all I need. Like sometimes it's as simple as that.
Well, yesterday I got a 20-minute nap and I was feeling fairly depleted, and just that 20 minutes was just like, I don't know, it was just refreshing, you know.
Yeah, I know not everybody who's listening gets to work from home or have the opportunity to do that, and so I find that maybe that taking a nap is one strategy, but the overarching thing, as I think Michelle is pointing to, is just really to check in and name, like, whew, I'm really depleted right now, and if a nap isn't possible, what might be a way that you could spend 20 minutes, whether it's walking or something
And
else,
sometimes it's
reading
not
a
even
book,
as long as
or
20 minutes, right? Sometimes it's just being conscious, like I've got 30 seconds. I'm going to sit here and take some deep breaths, close my eyes for 30 seconds, let it all go. And now I'm ready to step back in. Like sometimes it's actually not a lot of time.
right, and it's something you can do even if you don't have a bedroom nearby.
Yeah.
Another thing that helps is breathing.
Wait,
Don't
what?
forget to breathe.
Don't forget to breathe.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah, breathe.
Yeah.
Like,
And I do think giving ourselves permission to name, like, whew, I am just depleted. It's a very compassionate thing
right.
to do, just to own that and give yourself some love for, wow, this is a lot. I'm dealing with a lot. David named so many of the things that are in people's lives right now, illness and aging parents and hard parenting and change and stress from work. There's an endless list, it seems like, of the things that can sap our energy.
Because there's one thing that's guaranteed is that our energy will feel more sapped if we start beating ourselves up for feeling so depleted because all of this stuff is happening in our life, right? So I like what you bring up there, Margaret, with having some empathy and just acknowledging it's okay. It's a lot going on right now.
I'm not alone. A lot of people going through a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah.
Do you think that super achiever saboteur in many of us will not allow us to give ourselves a break, literally like a break, take a break?
Yeah.
The hyperachiever, which I see in many successful leaders, is it will be very, very adept at digging an early grave for you. That's something it will achieve, actually, if you let it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole challenge for leaders, I think, to be able to say, right? Not today. I can't have that conversation today, or I'm not going to get this deadline met today. Like sometimes just to model the sheer humanity of having a hard time is the most courageous act a leader can do. It's not about handling everything perfectly.
Yeah, I'll mention something here just because I read this article. It was in, I think, the weekend edition of the Wall Street Journal. Many of you, well, Margaret, you and Michelle know that I talk about suicide frequently, having lost a sister to suicide early in my life, a younger sister, and having lost a friend to suicide, a couple of friends, actually. And so this is a topic that is, whenever, and the Wall Street Journal has been, just been doing some great reporting on this over the years. And it just turns out like the 50 and older, especially men, like maybe three times the number of men kill themselves in that category than women. But it's also rising for women. So we are talking like just at the start of this podcast, it was kind of for that maybe this 40 and over crowd anyway who's feeling depleted. There was an article about an MIT professor, and his written by his he committed suicide, and the story was written by his wife who was left behind and the impact. But very successful, super high achiever. One day he just drove his car to a bridge and jumped off. I mean, this is like the impact of driving yourself to that point. People kill themselves.
Yeah,
They
and
do.
it's so important to be give yourself some ease around the
Yeah.
moments of difficulty and the moments of challenge, because it's part of the human experience, right? We all feel it at one point or another.
Overachiever will drive you to that. I'm being completely serious here. It will drive you to that because to the point where you feel like, well, I'm only worthy if I achieve. And once you don't have a sense of your own worthiness, well, then why wouldn't you kill yourself? I'm serious. I mean, look, this is some speaking from somebody who has contemplated suicide many times. So I can tell you, I am not speaking out my ass on this. Okay?
It's difficult for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the things we're sharing today are like they're little things, right? That might add up to a big thing, but certainly for people who are really struggling,
I didn't
they
want to
should
bring it
reach
all
out
down,
for
but I
help.
had, it can get that
Well,
serious
it
for
can
folks
get
like
that serious, absolutely. And for those in our audience who are having difficulty maybe considering suicide or know someone who might be, know there is the new 988 hotline in the US, which is a really important resource to know that that's available.
Can you say more about it, Michelle? I don't know much
Yeah,
about
it's a
that.
suicide, it's a specifically a suicide and crisis hotline. And someone will pick up and be able to talk to you about what you're going through in that moment. It's very different than 911. It's specifically for crisis and suicide. Yeah.
Think the arc of
Is
our
the
the
other
arc of
thing
our
that
go
go
ahead. Okay, the arc of our conversation, but we're so polite, aren't we, David? The arc of our conversation today in some ways is it's sort of how it goes, right? You start and they're like you're a little depleted and you try to think of some little things that might make you feel better and it might, but if it doesn't, and you know things keep getting lower and lower, like this is actually a realistic path
Yeah.
of where depletion and not caring for ourselves when we feel run down can
And
lead.
it's perfectly fine to get help and to
Perfectly
ask
fine
for
to ask
help.
for help. Ask for help. It's one of the things we train leaders to do. Ask for help, including if you're having suicidal thoughts, ask for help. There's no shame in it. There is no shame in it.
Nope.
I couldn't even utter these words. No less. On a public podcast, I couldn't even talk about my sister's suicide or my own struggle. But here I am now, so you can make progress. The other thing is like your worthiness is not attached to your achievement, period. It just isn't. And you are loved whether you achieve. I mean, I know this now. I mean, maybe I didn't feel this way at one point in my life, but I certainly know with the two of you that I am loved no matter, even when I make mistakes and I say things that are unskillful, so like knowing that can be super helpful. And, when you're down in your energy, like when you are down, like running super low, like we've been talking about, those gremlins will come out.
Yeah, that's so true. When we get depleted and fatigued, that's right. That's like blood in the water for,
Yeah.
right?
And that's why
Right.
it's just so important to give yourself some grace, to take some breaths, to close your eyes for a few minutes, to get yourself a cup of hot tea, whatever it is
Take a
that gives
nap.
yourself a moment. Take a nap. Yeah, gives yourself a moment to just acknowledge this is a tough moment, but I'll get through it.
And I think just the act of doing a small act of love for ourselves helps us build worth, right? It helps us remember I'm worthy of a cup of hot tea.
That's right, because
Exactly.
you are worthy and you are enough as you are.
Even when you are exhausted and the voices are telling you, I have to, right? I have to keep going. You can say, wait a minute. No.
I can take a rest.
I can take a rest.
And Michelle, you really shared that skill earlier of kind of co-designing, of, really letting people know
Well,
I'm
and
there.
that was my way of asking for help. Like, as David mentioned, this is something I never would have done years ago. Like, I would have acted like I was so healthy and depleted myself even more by acting like it was all fine, right? And in this instance with the course, designing with people, letting them know what was going on and being transparent was my way of reaching out. Like, I know you're here. You'll help me out if I need to put myself on mute for a minute and cough. It's not the end of the world, right? It'll be okay. There's no
Right.
show that I'm putting on here. I get to be human. And for me, that gave me a sense of relief. And in all honesty, probably made it a lot easier for me to function at a very high level and enjoy teaching the class. Because if I had been pretending, it would have been another layer that I would have put on myself.
The hyperachiever in us,
Yep.
or maybe all three of us at in a different era would have, ransacked the medicine cabinet for something to, make the symptoms go away and just try to
Right.
show up and pretend that, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm totally
Yeah.
fine.
Yeah. Right.
It's a different approach.
Yeah. So ask for help. Maybe that's what we're going to ask you to put into practice today in whatever way. Whatever way is meaningful to you,
And
get some help.
get some help and give yourself a break. Like, literally, give yourself a break, or like, literally, take a break, or say in your mind, I'm giving myself a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because you deserve a little break. Give yourself one. Yeah.
All right. And some of what we're talking about here comes from our positive intelligence coaching program that the three of us have actually got through and got our positive intelligence coach training. And now we help others. So if you struggle with this, please reach out to one of us and we would love to help you. It's an amazing program. It will change your life. That's all I can say. It changed mine.
It helps us tame that hyperachiever that won't let us be with what is.
Won't let us take a nap. Exactly.
Hell no. Hell no.
I
Might just get off this podcast and go take a little nap.
Why not? All right, friends, go take a nap. We'll see you the next time.